Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. I was looking forward to seeing you. Unfortunately, my vision is really deteriorating and I see blur. And so I guess that goes with old age. And greetings on behalf of our staff at the Pembina Counseling Center. I'm the executive director. I've been here since 1997. There's 9 staff, 5 counselors, 4 support staff. There's some volunteers. And so greetings from all of them. And we aren't known by everybody, but it seems like more and more people are getting to know us. When I started here, there were 341 appointments the first year. And last year we had 2,200. This year we're... It seems like our trajectory is possibly 3,000. So that makes us very busy. And relative to other counseling services around, a lot of people are coming to the Pembina Counseling Center. So we're very, very grateful for the opportunity of walking with people in their journey. So the Mother's Day tribute is kind of a hard thing to follow. and I get to speak here on Mother's Day, which is a privilege. And I was thinking about this grandmother who was talking on the phone, and she was describing her grandchildren, how they were growing and what they were doing, and how thrilled she was with them. And this is going on. This is a long conversation on the phone. It's close to 2 hours now, and she's been talking about her grandkids. And then she realized she's been dominating the conversation and monopolizing the time, and she apologized. I'm so sorry that I've been talking nonstop. Tell me what you think about my grandchildren. Before I share what God is passionate about and has called myself and other people on at PCC to join him on, I wanted to make a few comments, being that it's Mother's Day, and make a bridge to what I want to share about. But God created Eve, and she was described as a suitable helpmeet. And the word there in Hebrew, I don't know if that makes any difference to any of you. I doubt if any of you speak Hebrew, but or very few anyway, is eber kenizo. And what it means is one with whom you could not achieve or accomplish the purposes of God. Isn't that a beautiful portrayal of femaleness? God has purposes for our lives, but we cannot achieve them without our suitable helper. And so when we think of femaleness and God's design for femaleness, and part of that is motherhood, it is a powerful force that God uses to shape us, to shape our hearts. And today I get to visit my mom. She's 85. She's in a personal care home. My mom has greatly influenced my life. I think some of the greatest ingredients is that she simply loved me. She accepted me. She was kind. And she filled her role well as a mom in my life. And that hugely influenced me. She had a personal faith in the Lord, and she passed that on from early age. She was a praying person, and she shared her faith with us, and that influenced me greatly. A lot of who I am and my qualities were nurtured by my mom. I think God designed femaleness to reveal things about himself. In addition to purposes that he wanted to accomplish, I think God designed femaleness to reveal beauty. I think femaleness it has many, many qualities of beauty. And beauty is desirable. And if we think about God, God is beautiful. If we were to see the beauty of the Lord, his heart. I don't know about his form as much, because his form was not something that would be drawn to. But his heart, I believe, is irresistibly attractive. We would be absolutely drawn to him as he revealed his love to us. And I think God had in mind, through femaleness, to especially underline that quality of his. I think maleness was designed to reveal strength. And some of our attributes, our physical attributes, reveal strength. But I think in terms of character, I think God wanted us to be passionate about purposes, which when acted upon, serve relationship needs. Sacrificially, I think Jesus modeled wonderfully passionate strength. And he's called us as men to represent that to our families and to the world. So this morning, I want to talk to you about PCC a bit, what we're passionate about. 2 years ago at Christmas, I attended a banquet at the Winkler MB Church, and sitting at that table was Dave Dunseith and his wife, some other guests, Sharon and myself. And Dave Dunseith, who owns Canadian Tire in Winkler, asked me a question. Well, after, what do you do? Dave is a very direct person. His sentences are short. You know exactly what he means. He says, so how do you know if you make a difference? So I'm starting to answer this question, rambling a little bit. After a while, I realize I'm not liking my own answer. I left the banquet. It was enjoyable for lots of reasons, but I left the banquet with his question still on my mind. So when I go back to the office, I talked with my colleagues, and I said, so how do we know that we make a difference? As we talked, it was kind of like an epiphany. You know, an epiphany is when the lights go on, and you realize something that's self-evident, which you should maybe have known all along, but now it hit home. The way that we were meant at Pemina Counseling Center to measure ourselves is by connection. Have we connected with people? Have we helped them to reconnect with people? Are they better connected with themselves? Are they better connected with others? Are they connecting with God? If we have not, in our involvement, helped them to become more connected, then we failed. If we've connected with them, the chance is that they will be influenced to connect or reconnect with others. Simple idea, profound, very clear. That's our calling. We're called to connect with people, to journey with them, help them to reconnect where they're disconnected. So I want to tell some stories that talk about connection, disconnection, and reconnection. And so that's my message. A few years ago, I was speaking in Winkler, and a gentleman heard me. Now, he comes back into this story a little bit later. I was at home sleeping, and I woke up at 3 in the morning, and I was disturbed. Actually, I had a hard time going back to sleep, and I thought, you know, rather than just trying to fight this, why don't I examine why I feel anxious? I'm a counselor. We do that kind of thing, right? And so I thought to myself, Jake, he might have to come back up here and help me. I didn't think it was going to be like this. So I'm back on. I'll put my hands in my back pockets. So I am thinking about why am I anxious, and the thought comes to me, I think it was accurate, that I'm anxious because I actually want to be close to the Lord, and I'm actually worried that I won't be able to experience his closeness in ways that I have because of failings. And that makes me sad. And when I think the thought, I have other feelings. I'm sad. And so a thought came to my mind and I prayed it. And the thought was a Bible verse which says, "Quiet me with your love. Quiet my heart with your love." I said it to the Lord, 3 a.m. "Quiet my heart with your love." Then I experienced something, and I'll share this with you, and you may have your thoughts about, you may wonder about whether or not I'm interpreting this right, but I experienced waves going through my energy field. We don't end where our skin ends. We end where our energy field ends. That's why when we get too close to people, we feel like, hey, you're in my bubble. Back off. Because people coming into somebody's energy field need to be close, need to have a relationship. And so I felt these waves going through my energy field. I had experienced that before, and I recognized it in my spirit as the Holy Spirit. This happened a number of times, swept through my energy field, slowly, just like waves if you're lying on the beach, lapping on you, probably 7 times. And I had peace in my heart. I went to sleep. The next day, leap years, 2000. I'm at the office, and somebody comes to the door. It's this gentleman, which I hadn't met personally, but who had heard me speak in Winkler, and he brought a card. In the card was some money. A little note says, "Go out, enjoy this money with your wife. Take her out for lunch." And a Bible verse. The Bible verse said, "He will quiet you with his love." Isn't that wonderful? God was speaking to me. You see, I believe that God is passionate about connecting with us. He wants to connect with you and me. A few years back, after church, some friends and I, couples, and our kids, wanted to have a picnic. We went to Lake Winnipeg Beach Park, and we had a picnic. While we're there, we noticed, took in the surroundings. I remember some of the sounds, and there were birds chirping in the trees. The ladies were putting out the picnic blankets. They had lots of nice food that we enjoy eating, and ants, and mosquitoes, and flies. So it's a race kind of to get to the food before they get us. We could hear kids in the background screeching because there's a beach, and that's just the most wonderful sound, is to hear kids screeching at the beach, having fun, playing. And we decided to go for a walk, so we checked out the park. There was swings and slides and whatnot, and sandboxes. So we headed over to that area and ended up by there was a little girl sitting on a swing, and her feet were kicking in the sand. She was looking down, and she was sitting on her swing, and her feet were kicking in the sand. Well, I thought maybe she'd like a push. So I asked her, "Would you like an underduck?" And so I don't know if she knew what an underduck is. You know what an underduck is, right? You push the swing and then you just keep going underneath it. I'm pretty tall, so that was a big underduck. I told her to hang on. So anyway, I did that and she loved it. And so I did it several times with her, and after a little bit got tired and the guys wanted to move on, so she slowed to a stop. We probably were chit-chatting a little bit. And this little girl came to a halt, and she's poking in the sand again with her feet. And she looks up at me, and she says, "Are you my daddy?" You see, God has put it in every one of us to want connection. We're not made to be disconnected. We're made for connection. God designed us with capacities. In our soul, we have capacities which we can describe in words, and it divides our understanding of our immaterial part into categories. I don't know if we really can divide ourselves that way in real, But to understand our soul, we do that. So we have the capacity to feel emotions. We have the capacity to choose goals and pursue them with behaviors. We call that our will. We have the capacity to think thoughts and have self-awareness of our thoughts. Do you ever have thoughts? You think, you're conscious about them, and then you say to yourself, that's stupid. That's a dumb thought. You're talking to yourself, right? We do that. We have that capacity to evaluate our thoughts, to evaluate them against reality outside of us. That's a very, very important capacity. See, because we can have self-awareness, we can have awareness of others. God made us with that. So I can become aware of your purposes, you mine. I can become aware of your emotions, your feelings, you mine. We also have the capacity to desire. God made us dependent on sources outside of ourselves for completeness, for fulfillment. So we form beliefs about what we need, and then we pursue outside of ourselves how to satisfy what we believe we need. Now, physically, we need air, food, water, clothing, shelter. Personally, we long for acceptance, safety, companionship, security, approval. There's a number of others. The personal qualities need to be satisfied through levels of connection or relationship. The physical we can satisfy with things. Personal, we require relationship. God made us that way. We're made for relationship. Relationship with each other, relationship with Him. I want to talk a bit about disconnection. When our kids were young, we had a yard with a fence around it. I had built a swing. We had a bounce beam, sandbox. It was really a fun area to play in. The fence was tall. It was 7 feet. I couldn't even see over it. Nobody could see in. It was just a nice, safe place for the kids to play. And I was out in the backyard with the kids, and I saw out of the corner of my eye some things whizzing by. They kept coming. I checked them out. They weren't birds. They were cement shards. Now, if any of you have been around freshly poured cement, you notice that sometimes pieces break off, and the edges, it kind of flares tight around the edges. It's very sharp. It can be razor blade sharp. And they throw great. They're like frisbees. Well, these were coming over the fence and landing near where the kids were making noise on the swing. Well, I right away had feelings about this. Like, this could really hurt somebody. So I have a mission, going around the corner of the fence to find out the source of these stones or these shards that are flying over. And here's my neighbor's kids, plus a stranger who I didn't know, about 10 years old. And I think, I'm reconstructing this by memory, so I can't remember all the details, but I think I said something like, what are you guys doing? To which the 10-year-old boy gave me an F-bomb, okay? And so I realized, I don't know if it was that I was so wise, I just changed my posture. This isn't a good thing, this isn't going to work. And I remember thinking I need to be less intimidating, so I got down on the ground. He's that tall and I'm this tall, right? And so I said to him, I know you guys are playing and throwing these stones, but I said, you can see how sharp they are, and if they hit somebody, they could hurt them. And I don't think you want to hurt anybody. And you know that little boy that just gave me an F sharp, he had tears in his eyes. That surprised me. It surprised me when I got the F sharp, I have to be honest. And it surprised me that within 1 minute, he had tears in his eyes. What was the difference? He didn't feel safe at first. He must have, after I knelt and I had a heart-to-heart conversation. One of the things that we need to catch is that direction, telling people what to do, unless this is a business relationship, but in a personal relationship, telling people what to do or correcting them, directing or correcting, will result in rejecting without connecting. Okay? If we want to direct people, want to have that privilege of giving advice, or if we want to correct, it's built on connection. It's built on relationship. So in schools, where classrooms sometimes have behavioral issues to deal with, the answer is not consequences. When the kids acting out are acting out because of deficits, connection deficits in their hearts, consequences will not correct acting out when it's the result of connection deficits. The answer is connect with those kids. Then you'll have influence. They'll want to relate differently. That makes sense? I want to tell you a story about reconnecting. This happened about a few years ago. I'm guessing 4, maybe 5. Anyway, when my daughter went to university, we noticed that she, when she would come home, we'd want to hug her, but she didn't always want to be hugged. So we got the stiff hug experience, you know, and it didn't feel good at all. And we didn't make an issue of it, but we felt it, and we knew that there was something between April and us. Wasn't sure what it was, couldn't finger anything in our minds that would account for it, but it was there, and it stayed that way for a fair while. And so I thought, I was bothered, and it was because I was bothered I thought about it, and I prayed about it. Lord, what do I do? And so I felt like the Lord steered me in the direction of there needs to be a father heart conversation with April. I need to speak from my heart. Well, I thought, what is that going to be like? Like, what am I going to say? But I did feel quite certain that it needed, this was a heart thing. And so I had to approach this from the heart. And so I was praying about it, and thoughts were forming in my mind. It's interesting where you go when you go with your heart. It doesn't always take you where your mind would go when it's separated from your heart. And I thought, you know what I need to do? I need to have a conversation with April about what I think it might have been like for her to grow up in our home with me as a dad, her mom as her mom. Maybe she has struggles with some of the feelings that she's left with managing growing up in our home. And so I thought, you know, I can do that. I can tell her, kind of like my personality, what that must be like to feel my personality. And her mom's personality is different. So it wasn't about making me or her mom look bad. It was like, This is the challenge of her and my personality. And so I asked her, can we have a talk? I have some things on my heart I want to say to you. And first thing is, oh, kind of like a little bit, you know, what's this going to be? Is this bad? Did I do something wrong? You unhappy with me? I said, it's just some stuff on my heart as your dad. I feel like I need to say, if you'd be willing to listen. So she came home, and so she was sitting at the island, and I expressed what I thought it would have been like, and she listened, and I said, my purpose in doing this is I want to validate some of the emotions I think you probably are having to deal with And maybe it's confusing to you. And maybe me telling you what I think it would have been like makes it easier and validates what you're having to deal with, helps you make sense of it. So I finished what I had to say, and then I said to her, "That's it. I'm done. And you don't have to say anything back. I needed to say this." So then April, I don't know these things are going to happen, but April got off of her stool at the island. She came around. I guess I was standing because she leaned against my chest. She put her head there and she put her arms around me and she cried. And she held me for a while. And that was very meaningful. So I don't even know what I all did, except I touched her heart and I helped her be free in a way that she needed to experience. I can tell you that our experience of openness and closeness changed. Changed. The hugs are free. April said to me, "Dad, you're going to see my mom, in Winnipeg today, because Sharon is seeing her mom in Pearson. She's in a home. My mom is in a home." And she said, "Can I go with you?" It was just wonderful. And so connection and reconnection when there's disconnection. God is passionate about this. This is what God doesn't lose sleep about. Pardon me. Yes, I said that wrong, didn't I? He loses sleep about that. He doesn't rest. He has been busy since the fall, passionate about restoring connection, broken connection. This isn't just the call of PCC. This is our call. This is the need of people. The Bible is a story, a collection of stories revealing the heart of God. God wants connection with us. He wants to restore where there is disconnection. He wants reconnection. He loves us. I wanted, as a text, to share with you Psalm 133, and I'll read it to you. It's out of the New Living. Some translations sound a little better, but it says, "How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony." I think it's meaning people, when people live together in harmony. "For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, the high priest, that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe." I think that's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting. Like, put that together. What happened in Zion? At Zion was Jesus went to the cross on our behalf. He revealed the heart of God, and he did so with tremendous sacrifice and suffering to make sure we knew that he would go to any length to communicate to you and me that he loves us. The picture he is comparing with Zion is harmony among us, in our families, among brethren. There's a blessing. A few years ago, in Sunday school class, one of the individuals spoke up and he said, "There's been some research done and it focused on second generation conversions." So first generation, often people encounter, experience believers who demonstrate the love of Christ in a way that's attractive. The Holy Spirit uses the gospel, the words, to draw people into a relationship with himself. There's acceptance of the Lord, and they learn how to follow the Lord, first generation believers. Second generation believers, the biggest factor, according to this research, is laterally. So we have a home. We have a Christian home. We have kids. The friends of the kids' parents being committed to the kids, revealing the heart of Christ to the kids. So our friends that love the Lord caring about our kids was cited as the biggest factor in the next generation following the Lord. I don't know, maybe the research is suspect, but there's something that's intriguing about that research. We need each other, even to pass on the godly heritage to our kids. We need each other to do that. So I believe God wants all of us to be passionate about this. Connection is the heart of God. I hope these thoughts are helpful, encouraging, and thank you for the opportunity to share them with you.